Let us look at chapter 3, to outsource or not to outsource, right? In this chapter, we will cover the decision making for outsourcing, how you can arrive at making a decision, and also look at some prospects and precautions that need to be undertaken. So let us start with opportunities, right? So what happens in terms of opportunities, you have coverage for a wide range of functions, right? Conventionally, if you look, outsourcing, it started with the back office task, right? And then it has moved on to doing the entire operations outsourcing. And currently, it is at a stage of digital transformation services, right? So this has grown from a simple back office task execution to providing a transformation service, right? And also the opportunity on terms of resource availability, you have skill set available, and that also in terms of quantum. So these are some of the opportunities that are there. And some of the added benefits of outsourcing, you also have a reduction in administrative cost, right? As we discussed earlier, increase focus of internal resources on your core business activities, right? And then obviously savings on infrastructure, workforce and technology cost, right? And all these are helping you to improve the overall efficiency of the business, right? So these are again, as we discuss, added benefits. Let us look at how you evaluate and arrive at a decision, right? So let us cover evaluation and decision making, right? So basic, you start with an internal assessment, right? You, as we discussed, if you remember chapter 1, where you have the analyze portion, you initiate with the internal assessment, right? Now that is followed by identifying the right partner, right? Right competent partner who can align with your business goals. Then the engagement is fruitful, right? And then you formulate a business case in terms of what is the volume of work you want to outsource, what will be the approximate cost, what kind of quality you are looking at, and org structure, right? So these are aspects which are under evaluation. So if you look at the key consideration, the strategic impact, right? What are the primary strategic objectives and key drivers for considering a business process outsourcing decision? So it is important to know, right? One should be able to understand clearly what driver is fit for this particular business, right? You also need to check which functions are core to the business, right? As you have seen, there is also a loss of knowledge or control to the process. One needs to be sure of which functions form core to the business, right? And also in terms of what capabilities that can be streamlined. These are pointers under the strategic impact. Added with this, you also have capabilities that you want to be considered for differentiated. Where is your product or service offering differentiated with your competitor, right? You need to be clear in terms of which functions control need to be kept in-house, right? As we discussed, loss of control is a big risk, right? And one needs to be sure and clear in terms of ensuring that the key functions which run the business are kept in-house. Look at the business aspect. One needs to be clear, right, under evaluation whether the outsourcing supports the business better, right? The engagement has to be to the benefit of the business, right, and not a disadvantage. You need to be clear in terms of whether the organization will gain out of the engagement, or is it going to lose along with control, the flexibility and agility to move in business, right? The competitive edge, right? Will it be able to get a competitive edge? This needs to be evaluated under the business impact. Financially, you need to estimate, right? What would be the reduction? So unless there's an estimate, you, as I said, you can't work on whims and fancies. You need to have clear numbers indicating what is the benefit in terms of finance that will be offered? What is the reduction in fixed cost, right? What is the variable cost that is getting associated, especially in terms of labor, IT costs, right? How are you going to apportion the shared investment, right? There will be investment from both the parties if it's a shared model, right? How is that going to be apportioned, right? What about revenue aspects, right? Will this engagement support increase in revenue from other revenues, right? Can the company get into a different process product, right? Can the fixed cost be converted to variable cost? This we have seen is an advantage in outsourcing, but one needs to be sure in terms of assessment, yes, that is going to be a factor there. Again, looking at the operational impact, you need to ensure that the operations are running steadily, right? One needs to consider the vendors who are capable of providing uninterrupted services, right? The service level offerings from the vendors need to be of required maturity, right? And quality, of course, right? You need to ensure that the operations are running without any hiccups or without any interruptions, I would say, right? Given that outsourcing will happen across different regions, can the time zone difference play a big role in impacting the regular operations? That needs to be assessed. So the operational impact view also needs to be evaluated considerably. What can be the risk under transitions, right? You have the risk of, as I mentioned earlier, losing control and flexibility on the process, right? One needs to be sure how the final delivery will be carried out, right? So all these factors need to be thought about before you engage into the next, I would say, step under each of these different headings. Let us look at a potential issue, right? Flexibility, the reason why you have exclamations there, you need to be sure that there is enough flexibility in terms of the engagement and running your business, right? By losing control of the process, you are of course losing flexibility there. That has to be assessed. Now this falls under a potential issue, right? You may lose flexibility because the dependency is 100% on the firm, right? So that's a potential issue there. Then you are at the risk of trusting another business, right? It's a service provider and you are going to share your vital business information and data, right? Now this is critical in terms of any misuse to that data, right? Data privacy issues are there, and it is important to know that for the service provider, he will definitely need that information to run the process in a seamless manner. So this risk is something which needs consideration, right? Because you are handing over the entire process to a service provider, his stability also becomes important, right? Especially his financial stability. The assessment needs to be very clear in terms of what the financial standing is there of that vendor. What if tomorrow the vendor flags up bankruptcy? The entire business would go for a toss, right? So these are potential risks, issues, I would say. All of these need due deliberation. There is no, I would say, foolproof engagement. But it's like how you manage the foreseen issues and risks, right? So let us continue with those. With increase, I would say, usage, the security breaches are becoming common, right? So you have now your data which is available with a third party service provider. Now he has, I would say, sensitive business information. Is he going to maintain it? Does he have strong security systems? What are the, I would say, chances of data getting leaked, right? End of the day, it is going to hit your business, correct? So security is another key I would say risk there. What about, and we touched upon, as I mentioned, some of these points, unanticipated or higher cost, right? For a sale, the service provider may commit huge. He may commit a better SLA or a TAT. He may be very aggressive in his pricing as well. But because your process, unless they do a pilot, they won't have a 100% idea. There is that small chance that he may miss out on any aspect of the process, right? And which is where after a pilot or in the course of running that process, you may receive a change request from the vendor and which will be chargeable, right? So this is another important aspect in terms of cost, right? So this has to be, I would say, clarified so that we don't come across any unanticipated commercial, I would say, impact to the engagement. Relationship challenges, in continuation to the other risk. So because you are in a different geography, in a different country, and the outsourcing, I would say, partner is in a different geographic country, while there may be a common language, there are communication and cultural barriers, right? So till such time that a healthy relationship is built up, these risks need to be, I would say, mitigated, right? So this, while it doesn't show a direct relation to cost, but managing relations and smooth communications are clearly important, right? The next one is over-dependence, right? Now that you have passed on complete control to the vendor, right? You've lost control, you've lost flexibility. You are now 100% dependent on the service provider to deliver, right? What if there's a dispute or a disagreement with the service provider and you want to roll back? It's not possible, right? The inability to roll back operations in-house is a big risk, right? Because you have transferred the process, and in that particular phase, you may have done off with your team or transitioned your team or probably, I would say, dispersed the department, right? So that becomes a key risk in terms of not being able to roll back in-house, right? Even non-cooperation or issues with the service provider, say you are unable to roll it back, but you have an option of asking another service provider to take over. The service provider who you have engaged, you need to be confident that he will cooperate and transfer it to another service provider. That also, for him, it's a business loss, right? So this over-dependency on the service provider is a key risk to this engagement, right? The next point is on potential for disruption, right? So you there is an increased potential for disruption, right? You have financial issues or other problems at the service provider end, which can cause potential disruption, correct? As we discussed, bankruptcy or agitations, employee handling, right? These can impact your process and business. Plus, the geopolitical instability. Your vendor is in a country which is politically sensitive, right? There are, I would say, change in leadership, so government change in taxes. These can also, I would say, impact or be causes for disruption. Then you, of course, have acts of God, which are natural disasters, right? Suddenly there's a flood or earthquakes, right? So these are situations which, again, are out of control, right? But are factors which can be potential for disruption. And again, changes in economic circumstances, this is also a big factor. Say, a country is progressing well, but because of, take the current example of the corona pandemic, right? It has hit the countries to an extreme level. The GDPs have gone from positive to negative, right? So the economic situation has changed drastically. Now this is also a potential factor for disruption. Let us now look at the outsourcing decision matrix. Now, this is a matrix which can help an organization take a decision on outsourcing if you are not very clear, right? This is basically a guideline for an organization to use, right? And let us see how this works. This is kind of, as I mentioned, a framework which is used for assessment. And this framework considers two factors in terms of outsourcing a process. It will look at what is the strategic importance of the task and what is the impact of the task on operational performance. So it's basically taking a view on placement of a task in terms of its strategic importance as well as the impact on operational performance, right? So this is how the outsourcing decision matrix look. So if you see on one axis, you have the task contribution to operational performance. The other matrix, other axis, you have the strategic importance of the task. Obviously, we start with low, I would say weightage. And you will see that as this goes from low to high, and this goes from low to high, you basically have a four quadrant formation, right? And based on placement of that particular task, you either can take one of the mentioned decisions in terms of eliminating, outsourcing, retaining, or forming a strategic alliance, right? So you take a task at hand and see it's high on performance, low on strategy, so it falls under a bucket of outsourcing. If it is highly on the operational performance and also strategically important, it will make sense to retain it. So let us look at it in a little more detail, I would say. So quadrant one, right? If you go back, so this is how it is, quadrant one, right? Form a strategic alliance. So where your task is high on strategic importance, right, and low on operational performance. So tasks that are strategically important and contribute little, these fall under that matrix. So what can be a good strategy? You form a strategic alliance. You work with a reliable partner in that alliance, right? And then there you have sharing. You are sharing the control as well as a risk on the task. So remember, like, this task is strategically important for you, which is why you would not do off with it completely. If you look at quadrant two, which was on the extreme right, where you retain. So this task now is high in strategic importance as well as has a huge impact on the operational performance, right? Such a task needs to be retained. So if you take an example of, which is there in the content as well for the book, designing, right? So designing aspect for, say, a garment manufacturer. That is high in strategic importance, right? And availability of the design for operations is also high on the operational performance. So that kind of task nobody would want to outsource, right? Or scientific or technical stuff, right? Where you have a huge dependency. So that needs to be retained in the organization, especially where you need to have control on the task, right? These are like tasks which go input as, I would say, development of new products or new features, right? These are tasks which support innovations, right? They should be retained in the organization, correct? If you look at moving to quadrant three, which is outsourcing. Now here, this is a quadrant where you have tasks that are important or effective for operational performance, right? You need them done, but they are low on the strategical importance, right? They are not very strategic. So for example, for a shoe manufacturer like Nike, right? It needs to ensure that the delivery is happening to the distributors in a timely manner, right, after production. It can outsource that delivery, right? For sure, it is not strategically important, but operationally, it needs to reach the distributors, retailers in time, right? So it can outsource that particular complete function of delivery, right, logistics, right? Again, once it is outsource, you definitely will engage with a vendor who will confirm to your TAT, right? It's like evaluating and choosing the right vendor. Here the risk is minimal if the assessment is correct and the right vendor is selected. So these are tasks where you outsource, and then you are reducing the risk. So you have minimal risk available. And if you go to quadrant 4, eliminate, right? Now what does this quadrant do, right? These are tasks which are low on strategy as well as operational. They are not strategically important, they are not operationally important as well, right? They don't play a key role to the production or distribution of the equipment. They can be lower level administrative, I would say, tasks which are carried out for say lighter motivation or as an added benefit to the entire process, right? You have the example of running a pantry in the organization, right? So this doesn't link to the production shop floor or the marketing or the distribution, right? But what happens is employees or the production workforce can take a break there, right? It probably refreshes them. So you probably can look at assessing it, and if need be, eliminating it, right? Or for another example is like keeping a full-fledged medical facility available or a crash, right? While this is again a motivator or supporter for, say example, a crash, right? For the ladies to get their children. If out of say 5,000 employees, you have only a workforce which is potentially in hundreds in that group, or probably a lesser number, maintaining or running that doesn't help too much, right? You can look at passing on incentives to such employees, right? But maintaining a full-fledged crash then doesn't help. So these are tasks where you can so understand that the matrix is a guideline. And if you let us see how this matrix works and how you arrive. So what you do is, step one, you identify, right? If you want to see where it's in which quadrant this task falls, step one is identify its strategic importance, right? And how do you identify that? You check for its criticality, right? Is that task critical? Does it link to the competitive advantage, right? Is it contributing to uniqueness in the business, right? Is it playing a key role in the customer's decision making or choosing the product or service, right? Step one, this is how you identify. Step two, identify the task contribution to operational performance, right? Does this task play a key role in continuity, right? Are the operations going to be hit? Will they be at a standstill if this particular task is not executed, right? That's important, right? Again, is the quality being touched upon, right? Does quality aspects of this task play a huge role? So you understand how the operational impact of that task is under step two. Step three, now that you know on a matrix, plot the task, right? You plot the task and position it with respect to the horizontal and vertical axis, and you will see that it fits into one of the four quadrants, right? Now that fitment is an indicator, it's a guideline for you to decide. Now a task can be at the fact initial corner or the fact outer corner. So there is no hard and fast rule which says that it's in this quadrant, should be under this particular action only. It's a guideline, right? There are so many external factors which have to be taken into consideration. You can't just go by a particular, it's not a mathematical decision. Understand that this is a framework available for helping you decide, right? So you decide based on the placement and see if there are external factors, historical reasons, other factors which impact, and then take a decision, right? So this is how the outsourcing decision matrix works and helps in taking a decision whether the task or process can be outsourced, right? Now let us going ahead look at what are the drivers for outsourcing, right? You need to see what drivers are considered for outsourcing. And these drivers, as you see, they are under three different headings, right? You can have drivers that are economic, drivers that are strategic, and drivers that are environmental. And each of these have multiple factors. So let us look at each of them in a little more, I would say, detail. So let us look at the economic driver. Now, these has considerations of cost reduction, cost saving, and capital investment reduction. So it's an economic driver, so it will obviously touch upon cost. So cost reduction, right? So is profitability a key point here, right? And operational effectiveness, right? Is this helping or is the motive to reduce cost, right? Cost saving, right? Will this improve the efficiency and the cash flow, right? Is the cash flow going to become better, right? Capital investment reduction, will you gain more out of doing this, right? Will it make available funds for other business areas? And you also touch upon the strategic drivers, like which are in terms of acceleration of business process re-engineering. Is this going to improve performance, right? Is that a key driver? Do you want to achieve competitive advantage, right? That's another driver. What about focus on core competencies, right? One of the primary key reason remains for an organization to focus on its key core competency, right? Is increasing focus on the core business a key driver for the organization? Yes. Is this going to influence the firm's skills and resources? Are you looking at improving the competitiveness? You want to enhance customer satisfaction? So these are factors under focusing on core competencies, right? And if you look at the flexibility enhancement, right? Does this are you looking at reducing limitations of the organization's own production capacity, right? Do you want to do away with fixed costs and move it to variable costs, right? Do you want to be responsive to the market changes? Minimization of risk. So these factors fall under the flexibility enhancement. So these are under the strategic ones. If you look at the environmental drivers, right? What factors are there in the environmental? IT development, right? This is again a key increasing factor. So do you want to meet the increasing demand for new information systems and resource it in a cost effective manner, right? It is not easy to move to a different technology or latest, I would say, platform without an impact to cost. But do you want to have exploration or reach to the latest systems available, and is there a cost effective manner to do so, right? What about globalization, right? Do you want to have the organization increase its footprint and become a global org, right? That does it help? Do you want to gain competitive advantage out of that particular factor, right? For sure, a global organization will be more renowned and more known and can attract larger businesses if done in the right manner. So the third point under environmental is the capability of supplier, right? Will it improve your service excellence? That's a key question to ask, right? Because your touch point, if a process touch point which is being outsourced is touching the end customer, you would want to know whether it will improve the customer service, right? And as I mentioned, a happy customer will be a repeat customer, right? Is this going to offer a competitive advantage in terms of a better service offering or something which your competitors are not doing, right? So these were, I would say, drivers categorized under the three heads, right? And let us look at precautions while outsourcing, right? So there are certain precautions which should be taken while outsourcing, and we'll touch upon four of them, right? So you have basically four key areas mentioned here in terms of precautions to be taken. The first one is contract loopholes, right? You need to be very cautious in terms of the contractual agreement, right? This has to be done by legal experts and within the legal framework. Entire crux of the engagement lies on the contract between both the organizations, and this contract needs to be transparent and all inclusive, right? So one should be very clear to avoid any loophole in the contract which can be taken advantage of by the service provider or which can cause an issue in the entire engagement, right? So avoid any loopholes in the contract. That's the first one. Second one is the political economic issues. Like, okay, you have to be very cautious in terms of engaging with a service provider and assessing what is the historical or political relation between the countries, right? Where what is the standing between both the countries in terms of I would say business relationship, right? Are the relations cordial? Are they sour? It's like, to give you an example, outsourcing to countries where your relations have been on and off is risky, right? But if you have a historical, I would say, trend in terms of having good relations between both the countries which are supporting the businesses, then that's a good take, right? But this is again an important precaution to be taken before getting into the outsourcing decision. Let's look at the third factor, which is erosion of reputation and customer dissatisfaction. Now, this is again another key, I would say, precaution to be taken. You need to assess the service provider's reputation, because your reputation is going to be tied with the service provider, right? For sure, your customers are going to know that you have outsourced or are engaged with ABC vendor, right? And the reputation of that vendor, especially if he is a global, plays a key role in how your, I would say, credibility gets impacted. So assessment, during assessment, the credibility, reputation needs to be, I would say, researched, and also find out how the service provider's customer handling is, right? How has he been with his customers? The feedback is essential. So this is a critical, I would say, precaution to be taken. And the last one is in terms of privacy issues and conflict of interest. One needs to, as I mentioned earlier, you are going to share entire data down the line with the service provider so that he can run the process in a better manner, right? Now, one needs to do adequate monitoring, right? And ensure there's a contractual coverage which will help prevent, I would say, any conflict of interest. So these were the four, I would say, key precautions to consider while outsourcing. And that brings us to the end of this chapter. And if you want to quickly summarize, right, we've seen that outsourcing has multiple benefits. We've run across most of them, right? We've seen the decision-making matrix, right? Key precautions that needs to be taken. Right. So majority of the engagements have been successful despite all the issues that we know. So they have been successful, which indicates that it is fine to do a good job in assessing the right service provider and entering into a relationship, right, and benefit out of that relationship. Okay. Thank you.